this time. I want to thank those responsible for the beautiful decorations. I loved the fall, by the way. I really, really loved the fall decorations, but the Christmas is extremely beautiful as well. We got new banners this year, I was told, and at the generosity of a family in our church. And I forgot to read this card of thanks. Dave Ryder had surgery this past week, and he had an emergency appendectomy. And he went into the hospital about 6 o'clock in the evening, and by 1 o'clock he was in surgery to remove his appendix. But he wrote us a thank you card for those of us who knew and prayed for him. God works through you in beautiful ways. He's always putting you right where he needs you to be. And you're always doing what he needs you to do. He gives you strength, and you reach out to help those who need a hand. He gives you love, and you bless others with a caring heart. Best of all, he's given you and your friendship to me. And that's the most beautiful blessing anyone could ask for. Thanks for all your helpful ways, Dave Ryder. Thank you for the beautiful flowers, also the prayer and cards. Only God knew what he had in store for me. I know he has taught me a lot so far. Praise the Lord. And our brother Dave is a guy who always is greeting you out there. To me, one of the most loving men this church has ever seen. But we'd like to conclude this morning the series, Not a Fan, with the question, is Jesus truly enough? Is Jesus truly enough? And a lot of people have asked that question. Did I forget something? Pardon me? Password?
This is your first time here. We sometimes have technical difficulties. And of course it's going to happen during holiday season.
1, 2. Okay. And that's capital. That's the only. I downloaded Windows 10 this week. Why? And it'll be fine. And the reason it'll be fine is because in the long run, only Jesus is enough. Not Windows. But I'm also trying to find my favorites, but can you straighten that slide out, brother? not that one. Just pull that guy down. Yeah, you can do it. I have a few slides, and the only reason I have slides this week, I was encouraged to get away from slides, and I appreciate that. But one of the reasons I'm using slides this morning is because there's a lot of words in the points. And so that's why they are there today. Well, let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the Father, Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ with us and in us, we turn this service in our hearts over to your voice and your speaking to us in your word and through the points, that we would get with clarity the message that truly, as we have personally discovered, only Jesus Christ is enough for our souls. And I pray that you would use this closing message to draw a decision time, that if there's anyone here that's never chosen to follow you, Christ, as Lord and Savior, that they would entrust their lives into your care, for you alone love them enough to be enough for them. In Jesus, your name, amen. In John chapter 6, if you would turn there with me, In John chapter 6, there's a number of events that takes place. There are large crowds that have been following Jesus. By large, I mean as many as probably at least 15,000 people. Now, I know there's more fans probably at the Steelers game today, but that's a pretty large congregation, 15,000 people, if you stop and think about it. And they're out in the middle of an area that's remote. I'm trying to think of such a place, but very, very remote. Like Warriors Mark, there's no McDonald's out there. Or Burger King even. How about it? Maybe that'd be an idea to start a Burger King at Warriors Mark. I don't know. But they're in a very remote area, and there's no grocery store at hand. There's no 7-Eleven. There's 5,000 men gathered there. Verse 4 says that now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy enough bread to feed all these people that they may eat?" But this he said to test Philip, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be sufficient for them, that every one of them might have a little. Now, 200 denarii is about 8 months' wages. So let's say if you had an average job, that's somewhere between $16,000 and $25,000 worth of food. Now, keep in mind, there's 15,000 people, if the figures are right, at least 15,000 people. At a buck and a quarter, you'd have about 17,000. At a buck and a half, you'd have over 20,000. So you see how much money is perceived needed to feed this multitude of people, all right? And that's what Philip's answer was to Jesus. Verse 8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves." That's the poor ate barley, by the way, not wheat. "But it's 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what's that among so many people?" I mean, that's kind of like I think that was an insight. I think he was trying to be funny like I do. But I think he was trying to be funny. "Okay, Lord, we've got 5 barley loaves here and 2 fish and 15,000 people." And I just think Andrew was trying to be funny. Or maybe he had faith that Jesus could feed 15,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Well, anyway, the story goes on. Verse 10, Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. That is the men. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to them, to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. 2 small fish fed 15,000, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "Truly, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. When the evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. In other words, maybe under the cover of dusk or darkness, just the disciples went down and got in a boat and started to sail across the sea. And as we know, this is a story where the wind blew and winds would come down that valley of the mountains into the Galilee and would become very ferocious, and the disciples were afraid, and Jesus came to them. But verse 22 now. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea, so the people still waiting there on the side where they were fed, Jesus that night walked across the water, got into the boat, and went to the other side of the Galilee Sea with his disciples. On the following day, verse 22 again, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into boats and came to Capernaum. That is, they crossed the sea, came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, or teacher, when did you come over here? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Now, we started this story out in this same chapter 6 weeks ago. Here we have the miraculous sign, and it truly was, to say the least, a miraculous sign, the feeding of 15,000 people with the barley loaves and the two fish. And the people were filled. And Jesus said that the reason why the people were following him was that they wanted their bellies fed. Okay? And this guy, Kyle Eidelman, says that there's a lot of reasons why you're here this morning. Some of you are here because your wife makes you come, or some of you kids are here, teens are here because your parents make you come. Some of you are here because you like the choir. Some of you are here because you like the praise music. People come for many reasons. Here Jesus is saying that the reason that these people were following him was to get something to eat from him. He was like a drive-up window for them, all those people. And I think they also wanted to see the sign miracles, the miracles he was doing. They weren't there because they believed in him. That's important to gather here. They weren't there because they believed he was the Messiah. They were there because they wanted to see what the fantastic time that they saw before them as Jesus was doing the many things he was doing. And he says, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Now, Jesus in this scripture, though, is going to say that I want to define the relationship with you now. He's going to have, as we started out, the DTR, define the relationship. And I want to ask you as we close to define your relationship with Jesus Christ. What is the reason that you follow him? And at the end of this, as we saw earlier, we're going to see that for some of them, he's not enough. And I want to get to the message here. And he says in the first point, when Jesus is the only thing on the menu, you find out if he's the one you're really hungry for. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you take away the American blessings that we enjoy, right? When you take away the church, when you take away the people in the church, and you take away the band, and you take away the choir, and you take away all the things that we come here to enjoy, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus enough for you? Is Jesus Christ alone? Let's say that you lived in a remote village in Pakistan, in a Muslim village, and you were the only Christian. Would Jesus be enough for you? You see, it's really important that you discover that Jesus Christ is not only who you need, but he's the only one you need. You need a relationship with him because, as he'll say here in verse 35, turn if you look there with me to chapter 6, 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Now, he's no longer handing out food. He's no longer doing signs. He's now teaching them, "I am who you need. I am who you need." And he's decided that it's time to let them know that I'm enough. Look at it with me in chapter 6, verse 51. He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever." You see, he's no longer passing out fish and chips. He's now saying, "You got to eat me. It's time that you identify that I am who you need." And this is defining the relationship. The Christ being the living bread that alone, only Jesus Christ can give you satisfaction. And only Jesus Christ can give you heaven. And only his sacrifice on the cross can forgive you of your sins. And only the belief in him will ever save your soul. And it's time that you come down to a decision. And he says to them, "I am," just like that food satisfied your physical need, "I am the bread that will satisfy your spiritual hunger." That hunger that's deep within you, that sometimes the only time we can experience that is when we get to that point in our life where only he can help us. And so when Jesus is the only thing on the menu, you find out if he's the one you're really hungry for. Now, he gives some illustrations of this, of some people in his church. Ed came forward after being let go from his job. He was an executive living an executive lifestyle. He wasn't sure how he would pay the bills. The stress was taking its toll, not just on his marriage, but also on his health. For the first time in his life, hear this, he found that he was not sufficient. He was not self-sufficient. For the first time in his life, his prayers weren't just repetitive phrases that he had learned as a child. He was really in need. And I'm telling you, he has stories of Kathy was married for 20 years, and her husband decided that he wanted to be single, but went out and had an affair on his wife, Kathy. Since she was a little girl, she had gone to the same church, but because of the divorce, she was no longer welcomed at her church, and I don't understand that. But she came to their church broken and bitter, but for the first time, this lifelong churchgoer began to see how the Bible spoke directly to her, and each weekend, she said she felt like God was speaking right to her. And she decided to listen. In her loneliness, in her bitterness, in her depression, she heard a message of Jesus saying, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And she became a follower. And then he tells the story of a woman. Her name was June. And she was killed in a head-on collision. Her husband would only come to church on Mother's Day for some reason, and would attend church with her on Mother's Day. But now, with his wife and the tragedy, now he was open to God. And it says that a couple weeks after his wife's funeral, he walked down the same aisle that his wife's casket had gone down just 2 weeks earlier. Why? Because tragedy brings out experience that only Jesus Christ can satisfy. And so oftentimes we fill our stuff with the things around us. And you can name what the things you fill your life with. Think about that. Name some of the things that you fill your life with. And then think about only Jesus Christ can really satisfy your eternal soul. You know my story, and I could tell you plenty of story. But I can tell you this very clearly, that after living a life of complete abandonment to the world, only Jesus Christ could satisfy my heart. And I discovered that he was more than enough. As the song goes, he was more than enough. But whether you're a drug addict or whether you're an alcoholic, when you come to the point, or whether you've been divorced, or whatever it might be, when you realize that a little bit of religion isn't enough, suddenly the show that all you see, the show that you see up here so oftentimes, the fish and the loaves, the Sunday services don't cut it. In those moments, those times that Jesus is the only thing left on the menu, that's when you find out that he's exactly who you need. And he becomes more than a guy wearing a white robe with long hair. He becomes faith's reality and the only hope for the next breath. That's when you discover that he's all you need. And when you discover him, you find a love that changes your heart. And I can only say that's true. And those were my words. But when you find him, you find a love. You find a love that's truly satisfying, that no human can fulfill. Jesus Christ is the love that's missing in your heart if you don't know him. You find a love that changes your heart, that you want to live for him. You want to live for him. And nothing else will satisfy you but live for him. Did you hear that? You can go on and live for the same junk you're living for, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're as the prodigal son, you're going to wake up in the pig pen eating the husks of the world compared to living on the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to turn to Christ today. I think that's what the woman we saw a couple weeks ago at washing Jesus' feet with her tears, I think that woman found that Jesus was what she needed and who she needed. I think that's what Peter found at the end when he denied the Lord, a great Christian man, but wasn't sufficient. But he found Jesus was enough in his moment of failure. And I think that's what Nathanael found when Jesus said, told him where he was from and what he would do. And Nathanael said, "You are the Messiah." And on we could go. The people who found that only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I loved that song years ago. We sang it, and that was a long time ago when I was in college. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. So here in John 6, the crowd has decided, was to decide, is Jesus enough? Are they hanging around for the perks of fish and chips, or is it really about a relationship with him? And do you remember what happened? Let's look at it in John chapter 6, the end of that chapter. And Jesus, verse 60, it says, at the end of this sermon, when he's defining a relationship, will I be enough? I'm the bread. Will you eat from me? And he says, my bread, the bread is my flesh. You have to eat my flesh and you have to drink my blood. Now, as it says in verse 63, the spirit who gives life, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And so what he's saying, when you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, those are spiritual words. And he was simply saying, you have to believe in me that I am the Messiah, the Savior, your Savior. But he goes on here, and he speaks to the disciples. It says, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back, look at it, and walked no more with him. And I think that's the theme of this guy's series of messages. The theme is that there will be fans, many fans who will follow Jesus for a while. There'll be many people who come into this church and will be in this church and will follow for a little while. They'll like the music. They'll like the people. They'll like the beauty of the sanctuary. They'll like the crowds. But when the crowds go, will you go? Will you find Jesus is enough to commit your life to? And he says that many went back, and then he turns to his disciples. And that's the next point. When you really know Jesus as Lord, you don't want to leave him, and that's exactly what the disciples said. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, now they know that a little religion isn't enough. It's not enough to be a part of the crowd. He says, will you leave me? And my question to you this morning is, are you a fan of Jesus? You come, you go, you're here, you're not here, you're not here, you're not here. And you come, or are you a follower? Do you really believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has the words that can change your life? And so he says to them, do you want to leave me too? And of course they say, no, we don't want to leave because you have the words of eternal life. It became clear, though, why so many were following him. Please hear this. And even though he was God, when all those people started leaving, it must have broke his heart. Even though he was God and knew what was in the hearts of people, it must have broke his heart that so many left him. Wouldn't it break yours? If you were dating somebody and you met them, you liked them a lot, and maybe you took them to the movies and you had a nice time, and both of you, and then you thought, well, I kind of like this girl, and so you take her out to supper to a nice expensive restaurant and you pay for an elaborate meal. I mean, when you went to the movies, it really cost you a lot, I guess. All the popcorn, I love buttered popcorn and soda and nachos and cheese, and she ate it all, by the way. But seriously, and you take her out to a nice dinner and you drop $100 or whatever it is, $50, for a nice dinner for her. And you're starting to get really like her. And so you decide you're going to take her on a picnic and you're going to have the DTR talk, the define the relationship. And she says, you say, well, are you having a good time? She says, yeah, yeah. When are we going to start dating? And the guy says, well, we went to the movies. And then I took you out to an elaborate meal and she said, I don't get it. What do you want? And then she's gone. Because she was only with you for what she could get. You ever been heartbroken by people who have only been with you for what they could get from you? That's how Jesus felt here. They were only with him for what they could get from him. And when he offered him himself, that wasn't enough. They wanted the other stuff too. But Peter sums it all up when he says, "To whom shall we go?" That one question seems to ask a thousand questions. Who could lead us like you, Jesus? Who could teach us with wisdom like yours? Who could possibly bring us closer to God? Who would ever want to leave Messiah? Who else is worth following compared to you? How could we ever find someone else like you? Where can we find true love or joy or peace or satisfaction? You are all my soul desires. See, fans bail on Jesus when his teachings get difficult, when he asks them to sacrifice, when he asks them to take up their cross, when he asks them to die to themselves or to put him before their family. Fans take off. I don't think they do that just because they prefer comfort. He says, I'm convinced that their actions would reflect the knowledge. If they truly believed that he could give them eternal life, if they truly believed that he could be with them always and would never leave them and would be their supply, if they truly believed that his words brought so much light and happiness and joy. But they didn't. They didn't truly believe in their hearts in him. They were following him for what they could get from him. If all of us believed, and we knew, for example, you knew that you followed Jesus Christ, you follow him, you would go to heaven. You knew that his grace had worked in your life and your heart, and you wanted to follow. I'm not trying to put works to it. But he says, I'm confident that they would stick with it. Who wouldn't? If all of us believed and knew with every ounce of our being that we would be going to heaven, we could put up with the tougher portions of Scripture. If all of us knew and believed that the way those disciples did, I think we'd be willing to stand up strong for God's teaching on sexuality when it came up among our friends and co-workers or college professors. If all of us knew and believed that Jesus was Lord, I think we'd approach the sharing of our faith in a different way. But here's the problem, he says. We don't know the way we wish, so we don't believe the way we should. And here's what he means by that. We wish that it could be all laid out, don't we? We wish it could be all laid out, that each step of our life, and you didn't have to go through all the problems. We wish that all of our lives were laid out in a clean, seeable thing, but they're not, are they? But what we wish for, that's not the way our faith is. Because if we would believe with the same fire and passion the disciples had, I think our lives would look completely different, he says. It wasn't like that for the disciples. They didn't see their lives put out in front of them. Sure, they were able to witness the miracles, but so did the fans who left. But eventually they had to choose to know and believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Choosing to know and believe is a choice we have to make, just like the disciples made. Because if we would believe with the same fire and passion the disciples had, I think our lives would look completely different. In the end, it comes down to whether Jesus is enough for you. And it comes down to whether or not you choose to move from being a fan to being a committed follower. I'm going to skip the sermonette. It's by the way, tonight's closing video is tremendous. If you haven't seen any of the story so far, come tonight at 6 o'clock. It is a tremendous conclusion to the video series. You won't want to miss tonight at 6 o'clock. But let's move on if we could. The fourth point, I guess if you could move it, Rich. It's decision time now. Go ahead and move on, Rich. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives, do we? We don't know the day Jesus is coming again. And by the way, you don't know how your health will be a year from now. You know that, don't you? You don't think about it, but the reality is none of us know where we're going to be a year from now. We all know people who just like that. I wish I could get a louder snap out today. But just like that, their lives were changed. We don't know where our health's going to be a year from now. We don't know what's going to happen financially to our lives. You don't know. None of you know. But if you know Jesus Christ, He's enough. And that's why you need to know Jesus Christ as a believer and follower of Him. We don't know the day, but we know His name. In Acts chapter 4, if you turn there in closing with me to this verse, and I say in closing, being the closing verse, Acts 4 and verse 12. It says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You see, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And I want to conclude with a couple points, if you'll move on there, Rich. Through all the voices calling, I was reading this morning some sayings from all these different people. But through all the people calling out to us in this world, saying, believe and follow me, in all these voices from Einstein to Martin Luther King or St. Augustine or other Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all the voices that call out to us wanting our attention, right? Through all the voices calling, through all the adversities that life sends, think of Job and the adversities that life sends. Through all the doubts of intellect, and I thought of Mackie when I wrote that statement. Mac, with his doubts of intellect, his intellect of taught him as a college and doctorate. All the thoughts of intellectual pursuit of science and medicine and all the philosophy. I mean, you're thrown so much in college through a doctorate degree and all the things that fought against him coming to faith in Christ. Remember that, Mac? And all the times he would struggle. He wanted to believe, but he struggled to believe. Until one night in a tent revival, God spoke to his heart through a simple scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. And Mac knew he had a choice. He knew he had a choice. And he made the choice. In spite of all the voices calling in this world, in spite of all the adversities, and Mac had adversities, in spite of all the doubts of intellect, I am choosing to follow Jesus Christ. Do you understand? And I'm saying to you, that's what it comes down to. And that's what these disciples chose. Though no one join me, I'm going to follow Christ. And to be honest with you, you'll fall and you'll have failures, but you'll get back up and confess your sin and follow Christ, because you know that he has the words of eternal life, and you know for sure he is the Lord and Savior of all mankind and your eternal soul. Go ahead, Rich, if you would. Why? Go ahead, Rich. Why follow? Because you have the words of eternal life. I'll tell you, nobody teaches like Jesus. No one. No one. Next. We believe and come to know that you're the Holy One of God. Next. That's it. All I know is that knowing Jesus Christ, is the most wonderful experience. To follow him, it's the most fulfilling. There's nothing in this world that compares. And that's what our closing video, the song is. And I want us to put that video up as we conclude this morning with this song, Knowing You, Jesus, Knowing You. It's in there. It's on my e-internet. There you go. Thank you, Rich. I knew you knew it. Let's stand together as we sing this song. And I hope we have sound. This is a beautiful song. And if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as the life of your life, as the Lord of your life, as the joy of your life, as the sufficiency of your life, and you want to share that with us and come forward, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved today. Or on the way out, give me your phone number and we'll get a hold of you. But knowing Jesus is better than anything in this world could ever offer. Better than a 20-point buck. Go ahead.